introduce you to the discipleship pathway. If you've never heard of the discipleship pathway in this church, we have chosen to be disciples of Jesus, not just followers of Jesus. Disciples means that we do what Jesus did and what he has commanded us to do. And this morning, we are going to hear testimonies of what God has been doing in people's lives. Hallelujah. I am so excited, looking forward to what God is doing in people's lives. And it's going to be amazing. Hallelujah. Our desire is to see people saved, and we want to see people's lives transformed in this church. And believers are being empowered in this place. They are moving in the supernatural. When we talk of people laying hands on the sick and they are being healed, indeed, it's not just pastor, it's not just Jesus, it's not just the leaders of your church. Amongst us, every one of us, God is empowering us to move in the supernatural. And today you are going to hear it. Hallelujah. 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 And the discipleship pathway, again, is not an exclusive club. It's for everyone who dares to believe this Jesus and say, I want to be your disciple, not just your follower. Hallelujah. We teach everyone to be an effective disciple. And we have the stage, the first stage being affirmation. You are affirmed into your faith. And then leadership phase one. And then we have leadership phase two. And many of you have gone through the affirmation stage and leadership phase one. And today we want to hear some of those who have experienced the teaching in leadership phase two and how it has transformed their lives. And without any further delay, I'm going to invite two people who have been part of the family school, which is one of the sessions that we have, or rather one of the streams that we have for the discipleship pathway. So I want to take this opportunity to welcome someone who is very special and dear to us today. Hallelujah. She is someone that I've seen grow in her faith. She's able to witness to others and help them to get to know Jesus. She is not afraid of her faith. She is not ashamed of her faith. She's not ashamed of confessing Jesus. And she's gone through tests and trials, and the Lord has kept her. And she has an amazing testimony this morning. And her name is Josephine. Josephine, we are welcome here. We want to hear your story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can take off your mask because this is your story. We want to hear everything. Nothing muzzled away. Hallelujah. Josephine, you can come closer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I don't want to spend any more time talking. I just want to hear, what were your initial thoughts before you started family school? What were you thinking when you heard about family school?
Hello, everyone. And before I start, I want to thank God for bringing me here and to thank Pastors Irene and Pastor Gideon for giving me this opportunity to stand in front of you. It's nerve-wracking, and I'm a bit shaky, but I know that I'll do it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So family school, when they spoke about family school, I think Pastor gave us a gist of what would happen in family school. He spoke about relationships, and I thought, you know, I'm not in a relationship. He spoke about marriage. I thought, I'm not married. So I thought, you know, what am I going to do in this family school? But then I thought, you know, I'll give it a try. There must be something I'll get out of it, because I had already done the other courses and they were really empowering me. So I thought I'll go for it, and I did.
Amen, amen, amen. And overall, do you say it met your expectations, exceeded your expectations, or just somewhat?
Exceeded my expectations.
Amen, amen. Now let's hear your story then.
So a few months ago, if you can remember, some people came up here to testify, and Jess was one of them. So when she testified, she said she got a verse to be her anchor for the year. I thought, oh, that's a good idea. So I thought I'll buy that idea and I'll do it as well. So I thought of a verse, and the verse that came to my head was Isaiah 43:19, and it says, you know, see, I'm doing a new thing in your life. And I know that God was doing new things in my life because, like Bramwell said, I had been through so many trials and I saw what God was doing in my life. So I thought, this is going to be my anchor scripture. But if it's my anchor verse, what am I going to do with it? So that's when the family school came about. And I thought, oh, family school, you know, but what can I do with this verse? So I thought hard and I thought, right, the thing that I really, really struggle with is forgiveness, because I'm one person. If you offend me, I write you off. I don't know how to pretend. I don't know how to be lovey-dovey. If you really, really offend me, you will know. And my family knows. My sister Sasha keeps saying to me, the problem with you, Josie, is when someone annoys you, or when someone offends you, you write them off and you don't give them a chance. And I keep saying to her, but that's who I am. I can't pretend. So then when family school came, I thought, okay, they're going to talk about families, relationships, but I want to work on my unforgiving heart. So how is this going to work for me? And you know what? We started family school. The very first session we did, a pastor spoke about forgiveness as a lifestyle. And I thought, wow, that's it. That's my confirmation. So I really want, because at that point, I thought in my heart, I am definitely going to work on this unforgiving heart of mine, because it was eating me up. I was like people who offended me, I resented them. I felt hatred for them. I just couldn't be in the same room as them or even hearing their name. I just couldn't deal with it. So when Pastor said, right, that was the first thing we were going to talk about, forgiveness, I was like, yes, I'm in the right place. And so when he started talking, he started saying what forgiveness was not about. And he gave us a very powerful verse, which was, bear with me one second, Jeremiah 17:9. If you want to open your Bible, you can look at Jeremiah 17:9. And it talks about the heart and how deceitful the heart is. I think one of the versions says that the heart is sick, extremely sick. So I'm thinking, wow, so my heart is extremely sick. My heart is deceitful, because the pain and the anger and the resentment that I've been holding has been in my heart. So I thought, oh, that's not very nice. And we also learned that forgiveness comes from the heart. So if all these things are in my heart, how can I let go of them to be able to forgive? And when you carry on reading the verse, it tells you that only God can change your heart. It's only Him. So all this time I've been thinking, yeah, I've forgiven so-and-so, but it's just by word of mouth. So I've then learned that forgiveness, if it's not coming from your heart, it's a waste of time. And I think most of us, maybe like me, I think forgiveness is something we hear about all the time, but it's a word that's just a passing statement. So from that moment, I knew for me to be able to get rid of that resentment in my heart and hatred and that evil sin, I had to give my heart to the Lord for Him to work on me. And because I had decided that is what I'm going to do. Because forgiveness is a decision that only you can make. And most times, people come and say, oh, Bramo, you offended Tracy. Why don't you go and say sorry to her and you forgive her? If it's not from you, then it's not going to work. And I also learned that it is a process. I can't just come and say to Bramo, I've forgiven you and that's it. No, I have to work on it. I have to give it to the Lord. And I have to know that that is what I want to do. I've decided to do it. So in that course, I learned ways of dealing with an unforgiving heart, because then we were told as well, it's a sin. Even in the daily prayer, in our Lord's Prayer, which we all know, it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who forgive us. So if we cannot forgive ourselves, how then is God going to forgive us? And I also learned in holding on to things that were in my heart, I thought of how many blessings that I would have had, and maybe they were blocked because of my unforgiving heart. I thought of how I've been offering, you know, giving my offerings, and, you know, and because it's something that's in your heart, no one can know. Only God knows, because only God can search our hearts and know what's in our hearts. So in that course, I really, really learned that, right, I have been a sinner, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I'm not offended all the time. I'll keep being offended. But in that course, I got to learn how to live in in forgiveness as a lifestyle. It's something that will happen all the time, but I choose to make it my lifestyle. And believe me, people who know me, my family, my sister Sasha is here, my daughter Tanya is here, they can see a change in me when it comes to being a forgiving person. Because, right, and you know that you've forgiven when the person or the people that offended you, you talk about them and it doesn't, like that resentment doesn't come back to you. If you ever felt that you've forgiven someone, but whenever you see them, that pain comes back, that anger comes back, then you have not forgiven them. And that's what I was living. And then I felt, you know what, with my unforgiving heart, it's me who is missing out. Because some people that I hadn't forgiven were family members, and I felt I couldn't sit with them in the same room. I felt I couldn't talk to them in a certain way. So it's me who was actually hurting. So on the course again, we were told how to then deal with that resentment, deal with that hatred, deal with that anger. And we were told we have to go and repent of that sin of unforgiveness, which I did, and I'm glad that I did. I'm glad that I attended the course, because if I hadn't attended the course, I probably wouldn't be standing here. I probably would still be struggling with how do I go about this forgiveness thing. So as I stand here now, I honestly can clearly say my heart is clean when it comes to the people that I was holding in my heart. It's very, very clean. Yeah. It's very clean, because one of the things we were taught as well was to go back and make a list of the people that you've been holding in your heart and what they've done to you and how it made you feel. And believe me, when I started writing down, I did not realize how many people I was holding in. I did not realize how many people, because like I said, their names, I couldn't even say their names because they would really, really feel like, ooh. So I had to write down their names. I had to write down what they had done to me. And then we were told, after you've written all that down, just give it to the Lord from your heart, not just word of mouth. Because I tried it with just word of mouth. It did not work. From my heart, that's where I did it from. And because unforgiveness is a sin as well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 to 29, you can read it if you want to, you know, at some time today. It talks about anger holding you back. It tells you do not go to sleep with an angry heart. Because when you're angry, you've definitely given the enemy a right into your heart, a right into your life. Because I'm sure most of you have been angry before, and we all know what we can do when we're angry. So why are we giving the enemy that right when we know that forgiveness was given to us from when Jesus was born? That's when forgiveness started. So forgiveness is out there for everyone. It's free. If anyone feels the way I used to feel, please, I encourage you to come and do the course, the family school sessions. They didn't talk about only forgiveness. There's so many other amazing things that they spoke about. And what was good about it as well, it was very interactive. We were able to ask questions, deep questions. There was no one being ashamed that, oh my gosh, I can't ask this because this is this. No, there was none of that. So it helped me deal with this sin that I was carrying, not even knowing, not aware that I was carrying it, and not knowing how deep that unforgiveness sin is. It's very, very deep, but we take it lightly. Because I'm sure most of us have had preachers about forgiveness, and we go thinking, yeah, I've done it, I've forgiven. But it needs to come from your heart. Because, So you just have to remember that forgiveness starts from the heart. It's a mandate from God. We're not doing it just for fun or doing it just because we want to please others. No, God wants us to have forgiving hearts. It is a mandate. Like I said, in the Lord's Prayer, it is there. And once you've forgiven, believe me, the joy and the love and the peace and the weight that you feel lifted off you is so amazing. So, so amazing. Yeah. It's so amazing. And the blessings that you get, because right now I cannot write. I know that there are some blessings I missed out on because, you know, I was being disobedient. But now I've been obedient, God. I am now giving you my heart because you're the only one that can change my heart. And I feel more blessed. I feel the weight lifted off me, knowing that I can actually now sit with people who I honestly had not sat with for a long time because I just could not do it. And what we learned on the course as well was you don't have to go to the people and say to them, you know, Tracy, I offended you, I'm sorry, blah, blah. You don't have to. If you know that in your heart you've done it, it's up to the people then. If you go to, maybe if you meet them or if you feel like you want to go and say to them, or, you know, Tracy, sorry, I'm using you as I offended you, so I'm here for forgiveness. And Tracy says, I don't accept your apology. That's Tracy's problem. Because for me, with my God, we're at par. Yeah. So that is what I wanted to talk about, forgiveness. It's something that was eating me up. So if you're here today and you feel like, you know, just like me, you've got that one person or those two people. It could be a family member. It could be someone at work. It could be, I don't know, that you feel that resentment for them, that hatred, that anger, that seeing them, you want to cross the road or you don't even want to look at them in the face. Please sign up for these courses. They are amazing. They're the reason why I'm standing here. Because if it wasn't for these courses that we're doing in church, I wouldn't feel empowered. I wouldn't feel transformed. I would not have grown. I would still be sitting in that seat. Maybe 2 years ago, they would have told me to do this, and I would have said, no, I don't think I can do it. I don't want to do it. But when they told me, I actually felt like, oh, yeah, this is a privilege, and I can do it. My voice is not even shaky, so I'm so proud of myself.
thank you, Justin.
So thank you so much for listening to me. I hope I've encouraged someone. But please, 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 when they invite you to come for these courses, do come and attend because it's for your benefit. It's not for Bramwell, Pastor Gideon, or Pastor Irene. It is for you. I am a living example. Yeah, yeah. Amen. So thank you so much.
Amen, amen, amen. You've heard it. You've heard it from Josephine herself. And you can see that this is her story. She's not making it up. Obviously, she can't go into the details of names and everything, but she would have if she needed to, because God has transformed her life. And it's a true story today. And today, as she says, if you're living with forgiveness in your heart, and forgiveness in your heart. Forgiveness needs to be a lifestyle in your life. That is the only way that pleases God. Otherwise, whatever you are doing, your tithes and offerings, they are just a waste. They don't go to God. But the way she has made a decision to choose to be forgiving, and God is working in her, and this area that God has delivered her in, she's going to be a minister to other people. She'll be able to deliver other people in that area. Hallelujah. Let me just pray for her, and please stretch your arms. Let's pray for Josie. Father, I thank you for Josephine's life. I thank you for your faithfulness, that you have come and identified the issues that she had to deal with. And Father, you have set her free. Glory, glory to your name, Lord Jesus. You have set her free today. We declare your greatness. We declare your supremacy, Lord Jesus, because you have set her free. And Lord, today she can stand here saying, yes, I have forgiven and let go. Father, I pray that, Lord God, she will keep that forgiveness. And above all things, oh Father, I pray that, Lord God, she'll use that, oh Father, to reach out to others who are living in the pain that she carried for years, oh Father, that she'll be able to minister to them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. Josephine, you've done very well. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite now the next person. Again, he is someone who attended the family school, and he is going to share his story. A man like me, together with his household, they have been so consistent in their faith and trusting our God. They attend services here consistently, and they actively serve. The family actively serve in this church, and they give their heart wholeheartedly. He is consistent, as I say, and please take this moment to welcome my brother Temi. Come and share your story. Hallelujah. 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 You don't have your mask, you'll be fine. So you attended family school, and I know that it's not just the area of forgiveness that you dealt with, there are other areas, and you've identified one area. But tell us, what did you think in the first place of family school when you heard about it?
Well, naturally, I love learning. Mm-hmm. If I had my way, I would never leave school. Okay. If I didn't have to earn a living, I love learning. So, any opportunity to learn or to better myself, I always jump at the opportunity. So everything about family school, I really enjoyed and I loved.
Amen, amen, amen. Please encourage these people, because it's not easy to stand in front of everyone, right? Right, and this one was specifically special, because it was not just any kind of learning, right? It was special. It touched some areas that you really wanted to deal with. And I'd like to give you the opportunity to share with us. And just to confirm, your name is Temi Busari. Yeah? So please share your story.
Okay. When we did the raising children in the fear of God, God has blessed me with two children, two boys, and I thank God for that,
Just 1 sec. So raising children in the fear of God was one of the areas that we covered in the family school. Yeah?
Yes. So because as a father, that's, to me, personally, that's the most important job God has blessed me with. And it's a job, looking at it now before I started with the course, is a job I realized that I'm the least equipped to do. All other jobs I've got training for, exhaustive training. But being a father, I can try to imagine the only training I have is things that I've learned from my dad or things I've observed from other people. Mm-hmm. So, but when we were doing that course, I was able to now see that inasmuch I believed I knew what I was doing, there were many, very, God revealed many, many blind spots to me.
So he identified some blind spots in your life. Do you care to share some of those?
Yeah. Usually when you're parenting, especially if you've got double cultures, from Nigeria, when you're raising kids in England, you have these things that you have conflict, because how do you actually raise these children? So probably what we normally do is probably we decided within my wife or probably from our siblings, we just pick the best of both worlds and try and probably, mix it up. But going through the courses as we were picking up all the topics, I realized that the most important thing in raising children is probably you have to raise them through the biblical way. Because what I was just doing was I was using what I would like to term as old school methods to raise up my boys. In as much as that was effective, and because, yeah, again, I'll look at myself, because if I wanted to look at myself, well, I said, you know, you're not in jail, you don't smoke, you're not a drug addict, so probably there's nothing really wrong with what was done or how you were raised. Well, as I said, going through the course again, many blind spots were revealed to me, and I really thank God for that. So going through the things, especially in the area of discipline and the area of in impacting them with the Word of God, I was able to realize that, and God really blessed me to take all those teachings on board. And I've now realized that this is wrong, that's not the way you did, because going through the Bible, most of the things or the methods I was trying, none of them were shown in scriptural at all. So I've been able to embrace the scriptural part of bringing up kids the way Jesus Christ wanted me to bring up Tommy and Timmy. And that's what I'm doing, because at the end of the day, when God blessed me and my wife with them, we're just custodians. And our job is, most importantly, is to impact the Word of God in them so that when they go out there to the world, they'll be children showing the light of Christ. Nothing is way, way more important. And as I'll repeat again, it's hard being a father. You know, you get labels, you know, or other things, but it's not an easy job. And sometimes you can fall into trouble of believing that you can do it just by methods of man or methods of experts. Mm-hmm. Well, biblically, if you go through the Bible, listen to the Bible, through the Word of God, you can never go that wrong. And I want to encourage people, I'm a work in progress going through that thing, and I'm getting better and better. I go through the notes and I go through the Bible to look at how I can bring up those boys just following the best role model, which is Jesus Christ. No other better role model. So that is what I'm looking at, and that is what I always try to emphasize, because as I said, for people like when I was in a former place in Kunanig, I used to tell you, I don't care if I fail at this job, it's only a job. There are many things I can fail at, but there's one thing I pray not to fail at, I don't want to fail at, and that's being a father. Amen. And through Christ helping me, I know I can never fail. Amen. So I will just... So I just like to encourage people, all the things we did in family school, there is something for everyone. You know, we did a lot of things, as Joseph was saying, sometimes you think some things are not relevant, but in the aspect of learning, there will always be something. Even if there's nothing, something for you, there will be something that you can actually bless other people with. So I just encourage anyone, please do try and attend. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Stay with me here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see how God is working even to fathers, touching fathers' hearts. And the Holy Spirit is working through Temi. And in his own words, he is work in progress. However, he knows that with Jesus, he cannot go wrong. You can read whatever books you want in the world about parenting, but if one of those books is not the Bible, you might as well forget about it, because only God gives you the right way. And as you say, lead them to know the Word of God and they will know the way to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I also like to say thank you to God for giving us this opportunity to do it, and also the people he has used to bless us, because God will not probably just speak to us, but he will use vessels and his people, the two pastors in our lives, to bless us. So God bless them and God bless all of us for just listening.
Amen. 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 So let's just pray over Temi, even as he continues this journey with our God. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are faithful, my Lord. You see Temi and you see his heart and his desire, Lord God, to bring these sons of Father, Timmy and Tommy, Father, that they will experience your power, they'll experience your goodness. Lord, I thank you that he has poured out his heart to you. Lord, I pray that you receive it. Father, I pray every day you'll impart new knowledge, new understanding. You bring clarity where anything is unclear. Bring clarity to him. Let it come from your word. We thank you for what you are doing through him. And I pray that his sons will learn how to be a father because he has trusted you, God. And that anyone that he meets, oh Father, they will know how to be a father. Because, Lord, you have used him for your glory. Lord, let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Temi. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 So yes, that's been our story of the family school. Now we're going to hear from Monica is going to lead the next session with the group that is the School of Mentors. And we have fantastic testimonies. We are going to hear what God has done in their lives. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I am so encouraged by the testimonies of Josie and Temi. So amazing. I don't know about you, but we really thank God for their lives. Amen. Amen. So I am going to invite two amazing, powerful women of God. Amen. And they are going to talk about their experience at the School of Mentors. Now, you may be wondering, what is the School of Mentors? So the School of Mentors is one part of our vision pathway where potential leaders are trained to answer the needs of those who are looking for direction, who need encouragement, who need counsel, and they'll also have the ability to identify and develop other potential leaders. Amen. So we're raising leaders to raise other leaders. Amen. So these amazing women of God, I will invite the first one up, Lydia Adusi. Amen. Lydia has served in various ministries in the church, including the hospitality ministry. She is a very generous woman. She has three amazing daughters, but I won't tell her story because that's what she's here to do. So Lydia, tell me or tell us, how would you describe the School of Mentors in one word?
It's amazing. It's transformed lives. So it's really, you know, good to be in, to experience it yourself.
Amen, amen. That is more than one word. Amazing. Lydia. Come. So, Lydia, if you want to tell us, you know, some of what you've learned, because we go to school to learn, and School of Mentors is, it's called the School of Mentors, so I'm sure you've learned something. So tell us, what are some of the things that you have learned at the School of Mentors, or what are some of your learning points?
My learning point is where you understand the discipleship, to be more like Jesus, to be disciple of Jesus, and to be obedient, and to be a prayerful.
Amen, amen. That's amazing. Wow. And so you've talked about being a disciple of Jesus and about being prayerful. So out of those things, what has impacted you the most? What would you say has really stood out for you?
The prayers. I can now say that even though I'm waking very early to work, but in the middle of midnight or 1 o'clock or 3 a.m., I will be awake. So the Holy Ghost, I think and I believe that Holy Ghost is waking me up to pray and to intercede on behalf of my family.
Amen. Wow, that's amazing. So you're waking up to intercede on behalf of your family. That is so amazing. And tell us, you said you're woken up to pray. So tell us a bit about that. How does that go? How long do you pray?
I pray more than an hour. Before, it used to be very difficult, but now I can pray even more than 2 hours. I can able to do that.
Amen, amen. One of the things that we've been challenged to do on the Vision Pathway is to set aside time to pray. And the challenge is minimum 1 hour a day. Yes, 1 hour a day. And in the beginning, you know, some people are like, oh, should I split it up like 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there? But God is empowering people like Lydia to pray even more than 1 hour a day and really have that intimacy with God. So we thank God for that. That is amazing. And the School of Mentors and the Vision Pathway, you know, you've said you've learned so much. And we don't only learn, but we're activated. So Pastor prays over us after each session. And when I say activated, I mean he prays that the Holy Spirit will come on us and we're able to do what we've learned. So he says, he prays, and then we're given an assignment and we're told, now you've learned this, I've activated you, and you have to go and do something with what you've learned. So I want you to tell us, Lydia, what have you done with what you've learned, and how have you applied this to your life?
Three of my prayer points has been answered through that. And my relationship with God has also grown stronger. And I can stand here and testify that God has answered my prayers through my children. When one of my girls having severe pains of menstruation, period pain, let's put it that way. And I stood with her, I lay my hand on her, and I pray with her, and then I can say that he's pain-free now. And I thank Jesus for that.
Amen, amen, amen. She laid her hands on her daughter, and her daughter is now healed and pain-free. Amen. Tell us, is there anything more?
Two more. And also, my younger sister, also there's a problem in her marriage, and I also intercede on her behalf, and then now she's living happy with her husband now.
Amen, amen, amen. She is standing in the gap for her family, and she is seeing things change and shift. Lydia, I'm sure there's more. There is more.
And the one that is suit me up is my elder daughter. I was praying for her that to find her first job. So I asked her, what time are you coming home? She said, oh, mommy, end of the month. I said, you are going to get a job at the end of the month. You are going to get a job. And I prophesied on her that you are going to get a job. And she came and said, mommy, yes, I'll go interview this week. I said, oh, yes, you are going to get a job. And thank God she has got a job and she started already. So I give the God the glory.
Amen, amen, amazing. She prophesied. She's been praying over her family and she is prophesying. Amen. Amen. That is amazing. Lydia, we're so, so encouraged by your testimony. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yes, I just want to thank Pastor Gideon, Pastor Irene for the sacrifice they are making and impact in us so we can able to go out there to touch life of people. So I'm asking everybody here to join in to able to, encourage you, you'll be able to put yourself together to, stand for your family, yourself, to able to break the atmosphere of your family, of your situation that is too difficult. There is nothing too hard for God to do. So just put yourself and just seek God, that God will, do everything you ask him to do.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What a powerful, powerful testimony, Lydia. And Lydia has said it all. Lydia has said it all. So we're going to stretch our hands and pray for Lydia. Let's just stretch our hands right now. You've done so well, Lydia. I know it's not easy standing up here, but you are so bold. And let's just pray for Lydia. Father, Lord God, we just thank you. Thank you for our sister Lydia, Father, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, how you have raised her and activated her, Father, Lord God, to shift atmospheres in her family, Father, Lord God. Father God, thank you that she's laying her hands on the sick and they're being healed, that she is prophesying, oh God, and seeing situations in her home and among her loved ones change. And Father, Lord, we pray for more. We pray for more in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, we pray that she will see more miracles in her lifetime, even the ones that she hasn't seen yet, Father, Lord. You will do them through her hands in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I thank you for her heart. I thank you for her spirit of generosity. And I pray, oh God, that you will receipt her in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, every sacrifice that she has sown into your kingdom, Father God, you'll receipt it, Father, Lord God, in her life and in her family's life 100-fold. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Lydia. God bless you. God bless you. Amen, amen. Wow, amazing, amazing. Now we have another very powerful woman of God, amen. And she is coming up to share her story. Her name is Sharon Okru, amen. And Sharon is our House of Peace leader. And that's a Plumstead branch. I'm going to hand her over the microphone, because she'll share it herself. Amen.
Thank you very much. I want to give honor to Pastor Gideon and Pastor Irene, my mentors, who have taken me from this very uptight, controlling, overly rational woman to this powerful woman of God that I am today. So I want to thank them. And of course, I want to thank God, because without God, I don't know where I'd be today. So thank you for that. So my name is Sharon, if you don't know me, and I'm a HOP leader at Plumstead, and I went to School of Mentors, and to put it in short, it was life-changing for me. Complete eye-opening, I couldn't write quick enough. Where have I been for the last how many years? It was that kind of moment, so it was really an amazing experience. And we learned about discipleship, purpose and responsibility of a mentor, about authority, about what prayer is, about miracle signs and wonders, about moving into prophetic. It was an amazing experience, and I wish it could have been longer, but it was a nice fast track course, which I really enjoyed. But out of all of it, we learned so many things. It was so powerful. One thing that really stood out for me was the subject of authority, something that I kind of, not to say had negative thoughts on, but in the way we are brought up in society, we are kind of taught authority is something that you kind of grab, you take it, you earn it, you work really hard for it. And I'm just going to read from Matthew 28:18. And Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." But further to that as well, John 14:12, just to combine the two scriptures together, Jesus also says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Those two things, when I first had that first scripture from Matthew 28, it was like reading it for the very first time. I'd heard it so many times as a kid. I'd heard it so many times as an adult, but it didn't actually go in. Jesus has all authority, and he's given that authority to me. He's told me, he's given me that commandment to be a disciple. And not only that, which is, I almost feel like, is it a typo? Am I reading this correctly? Greater works than these he will do. Greater works than what Jesus has done, I will do. And right now, in that moment, I sat there thinking, I'm not even close to doing that. Which was a bit of a, but it was a good experience to be shaken up. So I've been given authority, and I have the capability to do greater works than Jesus. I have capability to do greater works than Jesus. Thus, that in itself was a complete game changer. And I admit, I was not standing in that position at all. So it was an awakening. By accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I can step into authority. So right now, I can step into that authority. I don't have to, it's not by promotion, I didn't compete with someone, I didn't have to look a certain way to get that thing. I just accepted Jesus as a Lord and Savior, and I've stepped into that authority. And for many years, I've let that authority be completely empty, and I've just kind of abdicated that authority. And what this course and pathways taught me that I need to stand in that, and not just when it gets tough, because I do that. So when it's tough, if my family needs me, someone is needful, someone is hurting, I step in, I pray, I'm there, I'm 100%. But it's about standing in that position every single waking moment. Yes, amen to that. Amen. So every moment I'm standing in that position of, I can do greater works than Jesus. I can do greater works than Jesus. It's a position of being completely limitless. For me, it was like taking off every single rein that I had, every single hold that I had on me, everything that society told me that I was. It completely reshaped me in that moment, just by that scripture alone. So you can tell that that whole discipleship pathway was completely amazing and really impactful. So, like I said, the authority that I've got by accepting Jesus wasn't by overthrowing someone. I didn't climb my way to the top. I didn't take out my mentor to do it, which sometimes in society you're kind of told, you know, you have to like compete with people. You have to look at people ahead of you and try and take them down. It's not like that at all. I just accepted Jesus. I accepted him, and therefore I have that authority. Also, Matthew 11:27 says, all things have been delivered to me by the Father. So, and this is a line that Pastor Gideon said, which also shook me a bit. Only those who come under authority will have authority. I'll say that again. Only those who come under authority will have authority. So where we're taught that being independent woman, that's great. Being independent, doing it yourself, it's amazing, that's great. You can't do it alone. You can't be your own law. You can't be your own person. You need to be open-hearted to have mentors in your life. Be open to people correcting you in your life, right? It's tough, right? So when I heard that, I was like, ooh. So being completely open to those who have wisdom, who've done it before, who are skilled, who are walking the right path. I'm not saying being led by people that are not good, but people that are who are good, who are doing really well, be open to their corrections, basically. So without that, I can't be a leader if I can't be led, basically, which was another game changer. So you can imagine I was sat there going, shocked. So like I said, being open to having mentors speak into your life, I'm so blessed by Pastor Gideon, Pastor Irene. They've nurtured me, and I have let them, you know, speak into my life without even realizing what I was doing. But now I'm going to lean in even further to that and be completely open, and also open to new people who have new ways of working as well. So how have I taken all these things and like changed my life? Well, it may not be something that I can physically show you, but inside of me, it's completely different. I look at life completely different now. I'm completely reshaped. My identity is completely built on the fact that I have authority given to me by Jesus, and that I can do anything. I can do it. I'm greater than Jesus, which is that in itself is like a game changer. When you wake up in the morning thinking like that, absolutely anything is possible. So now when I'm in chaos and it feels completely crazy, I can still be in that chaos, but I no longer feel it anymore. I'm kind of looking almost past it. I'm like, okay, what's happening here? What's going on here? This person here, what's happening with them? How can I help them? Or what's going on here? Rather than being frustrated with somebody, I can see the issue that person's going through. I can be more compassionate. Also, too, it feels like to me like I was on the ground floor level of an apartment building where all you see is kind of street level, there's cars, there's people, and now I feel like I've been kind of lifted up to the penthouse level where you can see way beyond the buildings, you can see beyond that mucky city that there's this beautiful landscape beyond there. There's this, you know, there's fields, there's water, there's clear. So now it's not just I'm in this moment talking to you, I can see beyond. So even though right now I may be going through something very stressful, I can see beyond that, basically. I'm thinking limitlessly. So basically, if something's going wrong in my life, this is opportunity for the Lord to come in and work. That's how I see it now. Also, I need to be that person that is bringing in positivity to people around me rather than just, you know, encouraging people to be depressed or feeling down, basically. So I can't physically show you what this course has done for me, but I can tell you that I'm a completely changed person. My identity has completely been reshaped by the fact that I have authority and that I have the capability to do things greater than Jesus. Also, it's really highlighted to me that every single person in that course has a unique personality, unique skills. We were born for a reason. We all have a purpose. And unfortunately, we kind of waste our time, our life away, doing all the wrong things, even though we know in the pit of our stomach, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. And during this course, I really feel like I'm more equipped. I don't know what that thing is. The Lord will reveal it to me at some point, but I'm more equipped now to face up to what that purpose is. So it's been an amazing experience. I would say to anyone who's kind of thinking, oh, it's a lot of time, I've got tons of things going. We're all busy. We've all got jobs. But I would say to you, please, 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 this over, this person that I'm standing here today, controlling, overly rational, uptight, has been completely changed by every single course, step by step, bit by bit. I would say to you, I would encourage you. I work long hours, but I have worked my hours around it, please. So just as my final scripture, it's John 8, 31, 32, and it says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I can tell you now, I feel completely free. I'm completely at peace, and that is because I know the authority that I'm under, and I'm completely open to have people come into my life and kind of give me advice, and I know that one day I will do works greater than Jesus. Thank you.
Amen, amen. That is so, so powerful. And, you know, you've spoken about really powerful things coming under authority. And I just want to pray for you, just to pray. So let's just stretch our hands out towards Sharon and pray for Sharon in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, we thank you for Sharon. Father, Lord God, thank you for transforming her life, for bringing her, Father, Lord God, and bringing such a rapid transformation. And thank you, Father, Lord God, for the authority that you have given her, oh God. Father, Lord God, you say that you have given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome every power of the enemy, and nothing will harm us. And Father, Lord God, we pray that as she continues to come under authority, Father, Lord God, you will give her more authority, Father, Lord God. You will anoint her with more power in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, and greater works will she do in the name of Jesus. And Father, Lord, we thank you for the influence that she is to the people around her. Father, Lord, we thank you for the change. And Father, Lord, for the Spirit of God that flows through her. And Father, Lord, we pray that she will see much more that eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It has not even entered the hearts of men, the things that you will do through Sharon's life. In Jesus' name. Father, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sharon. God bless you. Amen. 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 That has been so powerful. And you know what? They've summed it up. I can't add anything else. But what I would say is that take hold of what you have heard today and run with it. Amen. You may have heard about the vision pathway and you may be wondering, what is the vision pathway? Do I really need to go on the vision pathway? Well, you've heard it from them and you've heard it how it's transformed their lives, how it's empowering them. Josie has spoken about forgiveness. Tammy has spoken about raising godly children. Lydia has spoken about how she's praying and prophesying over, you know, over her family. Sharon has talked about how she's moving in authority as she comes under authority. So, you know, I want us to respond to this. Amen. I remember something. It was at House of Peace, actually. It was Sharon who shared this. And it was from Revelations, chapter 19, verse 10. And it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. So that means when somebody is sharing what God has done in their lives, they're actually prophesying. And the spirit of prophecy is released. So it's for you to take it and appropriate it to your life. So take it and claim it for yourself and say, you know what? What God has done for them, I want him to do it for me. Amen. So we're going to stand. Let's stand and respond. Amen.